Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. And let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight and for those that are here. We'd ask you to be with those that are home tonight and not feeling well, illness or injury or both. That you would just raise them up, that you would touch their bodies. There are several tonight, men and women, boys and girls, that would love to have been here, but physically they're unable to be. And we'd ask that you would relieve their symptoms, you'd give them a good night's rest. Many of them have to work tomorrow and have other responsibilities at the home, etc. And we just ask that you would touch each one. Lord, we ask you to be with us tonight that have gathered, that as we've opened your word, so would our ears and eyes be supernaturally opened, that we might see what you have for us from your word. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. To recap, or to just to quickly get us up to speed by about 2 minutes, Hebrews, the author, was trying to explain and expound to them for many chapters here on who Christ is. And he went through a list of Jesus Christ as so much better than anything or anyone else. He talked about being so much better than the angels, so much better than man, so much better than Moses, so much better than the Old Testament priest system. And he was trying to convince them to taste and see for themselves who Christ is. To get to know the Lord Jesus Christ on a deeper level because of the persecution they were facing. And it's coming to a town near us. It's spreading all over the world. It's in Canada, worse than we got it. And they're trying to dictate to churches what they can and cannot do. And they are even coming in and telling them everyone has to have a COVID vaccine to be out in public, basically, or in assembly of worship. And they're mandating or trying to that pastors will turn in or self-report on their congregation if people are not compliant with that. And I'm waiting to hear back, but I'm hearing through the grapevine there are people up there that are complying with that are filling pulpits. And they ought to do the right thing and just give up their pulpit to somebody who's actually a real man and a man of God and not a coward. And I don't know who they are yet, so I said that generically. But this was real persecution in this day. They knew what it was. If they were going to name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was going to cost them a lot. Their livelihoods and many of them their life. And they were tempted, let's flee back into Judaism or let's at best compromise and assimilate with what's going on or let's quit altogether. The author of Hebrews is arguing about who Jesus is and is trying to let them know when you see him like I've seen him and you know him like I know him, you'll have the confidence and the love for him to stand in an evil day. But to get there, it requires growth. Growing deeper in Christ. He's saying you need to know Christ, and he's saying not just intellectually. Or we know all these things from our young age about the Lord Jesus Christ. But by experience, personally having tasted and seen that God is good. Chapter number 6 down to verse number 5, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's not the context of that verse, but the same idea of tasting God or being exposed to him. He said once you have grown deeper in your walk with God from chapters 1 to 5, now in chapters 6, he's saying it is time to leave some things and go on to some things. It is time to perfect or to mature, to ripen in the Lord Jesus Christ and not just settle for the principal things. In verse number 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. That word principle, you could lay it aside, the word elementary or simple, just a straightforward, basic, elementary principle fact in the Word of God. He said, it is time to lay aside the principles, the elementary things, and go on to grow deeper. He said, you're scratching the surface over and over, and all you're doing is scratching the surface. And too often, he said, you're content with elementary teaching. And he gives us several here in chapter 6 that we won't go over today. We're going to use them as an outline for the next few weeks on trying to lay the good foundation of those elementary teachings so we can go on to deeper things. Because most of Christianity, it seems, we spend it trying to wrap our minds around and try to understand or at least believe the elementary things that he lists here, one of the greatest being eternal security. But this elementary thing says, as important as the foundations of your faith are, you've got to go from the milk to the meat if there's going to be real growth. If you go there, chapter 5, we looked at that a few months ago, to verse number 13. It says, "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Those that have learned to use, to exercise. It's the idea of a baby, but as you grow, being able to eat and to exercise for yourself. So you got to go from the milk to the meat. Meat is needed for maturity. After he talks about that in chapter 5, about everyone using milk is unskillful. And then in verse 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age. He says in chapter 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So saying you've got to mature through the eating and exercising process from a baby on milk into be able to eat and exercise, digest meat, so you can lay the elementary things down and continue on to perfection in Christ. Or maturity. It's directly tied to a lack of eating and exercising if there's a lack of maturity in Christ. Because if I'm not eating what I should, not exercising like I should, there is a stunted growth. We'll say this, the congregation, any congregation, especially ours, this isn't an insult, it's just a fact about our church because it humbles us, but any congregation is not an assembly of perfect people. Comprising any assembly are flawed human beings who struggle every day with sin, many times unsuccessfully struggle with sin. It's what it is. But the goal, Paul is saying, is to mature. The goal is to grow up in Christ. To deepen or mature in the faith. Not growing compared to somebody else. Growing compared to the plumb line. Compared to the standard of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to compare myself to anybody, it'll be to the plumb line, the standard of Christ, and compared to yesterday in my situation. Not how am I doing or growing compared to my wife or my children or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. I'm not too bad compared to them. But how am I growing? Where am I at compared to where I was last year or yesterday? Because comparing ourselves among ourselves is unwise, the Bible says. Here's as deep as we'll get tonight. We were all born babies. Anyone here that was born full grown? And most of the crowd tonight is still not full grown. That's just a Katie book. No. It's okay to be mental midgets. I are one too. No. All of us were born babies. We are all to be growing. And again, tonight and the next few weeks is going to be the elementary, the principal things that we can lay that foundation and then go on. We all grow at different paces. Everyone's growth may look differently, but we're all commanded to grow in the same thing, and that is to grow in grace. Growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that also ought to be reflected in the grace that we have. Because there's a temptation that as I grow and I obtain a deeper level with Christ, which is the goal, or a maturity in Christ, or I overcome some obstacles, or I be able to conquer some besetting sins, the temptation is to get judgmental or to look down on people who struggle with something that I don't struggle with. This is human nature. It's easy for me to live there. That I look at someone who is struggling with something that I don't have a personal struggle with, or that something I have already overcome, and the temptation is to look down, like, why are they still struggling with this? When the reality is, if it was not for the grace of God, we'd all still be there. So the encouragement is we don't criticize somebody because they grow different than us. That, well, I conquered that years ago, what's your problem? But to grow, to even mature, to deepen in our grace for one another. Because somebody's struggling different than our struggling, or someone that needs to grow in an area that I don't need to grow in, does not mean that we don't all struggle and don't all need to grow. So we all are going to struggle. We all need this growth. Okay, so this, again, it's just introductory statements perhaps for tonight. A fully mature congregation is an impossibility this side of heaven. Because if a church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, they will at least somewhat routinely be introducing new people and new converts into the congregation. And new believers must be discipled, they must be trained, they must be led, they must be enabled to grow. So if you're putting in new families or new converts, new believers, that means the congregation overall has not reached perfect maturity. That's impossible. The only other alternative is there is no new birth and no new growth, and that means you're dead. So I appreciate a couple weeks ago when we had an afternoon service that didn't go according to our plan, but according to God's, testimony after testimony after testimony of people that are to appreciate the fact that this church is a place that accepts wounded people. That wounded people, broken people feel accepted here. And that ought to be that way in any congregation, that I feel comfortable and accepted being a broken piece in this congregation, but growing. That I'm not going to try to stay this way and be content this way. I want to grow. I want to deepen my walk with Christ. I want to be more tomorrow than I was yesterday. But unlike what it's been for years in our movement, not because of force or fear, but because I see who and what I am in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's an outpouring of my love for Him. Birth. If you've ever been there for anybody's birth, and I know all of us were there for our own, but if you remember your own, you got problems. Birth is a wonderful thing. It is a mystery that no one really understands, it has been said. And it does not matter how beautiful a birth is, which I personally have never witnessed a beautiful birth. My wife is always beautiful, but I've never met a beautiful baby. No offense against yours or mine. I think all babies are ugly. And some of them change over time, and some of them don't. I'll let you diagnose the audience. It doesn't matter how beautiful someone would describe a birth as. If there is no growth after birth, everybody would be worried. Or if there was an unbalanced growth. You got one arm that's 6 inches long and one that's 6 feet long. People are going to think there's a problem. My brother-in-law tells that joke all the time. And I can't remember it all, but it's about the guy with the little shriveled arm. Saying, "Lord, make my hand like the other one." Then said, "No, Lord, that's not what I meant." And that's a Wednesday night. I'm just seeing if you're still awake. You gotta be specific when you pray. Hebrews chapter 5. We just read verse 13. Let's back up to verse number 11. Because again, the stress of this is I'm going to leave the principal things and go on to maturity. It is going to be directly correlated to my eating and exercising milk to meat. Hebrews 5 verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. There's that phrase again. It's come up a lot. Pastor Barnes, we talked about a couple Wednesday nights ago out of James. We landed on it in Acts on Sunday. Here it is again, that dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers. He's saying the time has arrived, you should be teaching this stuff. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be, here's the words, the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said there's been a dull hearing here. Is that's related to not being able to transition from milk to meat to the leading the principal things to the perfecting things of Christ? Is there has been a slackness, a laziness, or a dullness to hear? He said he's encouraging us, like we keep hearing, we should on purpose apply ourselves to the study of what God has for us. We should on purpose be trying to learn and digest to where the elementary principle things, the basic doctrines of our faith, should be second nature to us. And he said, fellas, you've been Christians long enough, you should be teachers. But you haven't grown and you still need to be taught. He said, by this time, you ought to be eating strong meat. But you still can't digest it spiritually. It's that baby still spitting up the bottle. They can't keep it down. And they can't exercise internally all the organs processing the stomach, etc., digesting this milk, and then eating and exercising it through and growing. It's having a problem there. He says, you're still spiritual babies. You're still needing someone to mix up a bottle and get it to you. And maybe you've gotten to the point where you do okay as long as somebody is there to mix it up for you and to give it to you. And that's okay, said, if you're a baby. We expect all babies to want milk, to grow on milk. But if Isaiah came in from hunting today and he's just curls up on the back row and he's drinking a bottle of milk, we'd probably be worried about him. And maybe he would, I don't know. If you do that at home, I don't care. I don't want to know. Just saying, at some point, people would say there's something wrong. Could I say it this way? Maturity is not gained by reaching a certain age. We have a lot of adult babies in this world. I call them Antifa, you call them what you want. There's a whole bunch of them that need their pacifiers and their safe spaces, and words hurt worse than bullets. And that's not the topic of tonight. Spiritual speaking for us, we apply it to ourselves. That maturity is not when I reach a certain age. Spiritual maturity, like physical maturity, is learned through eating and exercising for myself. See, I don't like being told what to do. Tell yourself what to do then. I mean, as a young age, he said, I'm sick of my mom and dad always on my case, always telling me what to do. Then decide I'm going to get up tomorrow, I'm just going to do all the things I know is expected of me to do. My goal tomorrow is for my mom or dad not to have to tell me to do one of my chores all day. They might just pass out. I would. And we expect that at work. And we have guys that complain with certain sergeants, lieutenant chief, whatever. They're micromanagers. And they're always watching the camera trying to catch us doing things. I said, I don't. I expect my guys, and we do it every week. We review policies. I send them out. I expect them to read them and to test on them, to know them. Because I expect my guys to perform at a very high level of performance, or we're going to have a problem. So I don't spend my shift saying, did someone check the log? Did somebody get the vehicle going? Who's going on this post? Who did this? Who's writing the report? I check off on it, or I expect it at the end of the day. Because I expect my guys to be mature about it. And if not, we'll work on that growth. But maturity is when I learn to eat and exercise my own. It's the word perfect is mature. It's also the word ripe. We know fruit ripens. Christians are supposed to mature. I guess you could get ripe as well, but if you're ripe here tonight, we would know it already. He's saying the teachers have been there. The teaching has been there. But you've been dull of hearing. You've been slothful about hearing and digesting. Unlike where he's talking about when you were a baby in Christ, you were new to this. You got saved. You tasted and saw that God was good. And you were eager and hungry to learn. You did the homework. You meditated on the scriptures. You memorized the scriptures. He said the danger is to start coasting where you get lazy and casual about learning and growing. 1 Peter 2, you know the verse says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He said, just like the babies have a sincere desire, they have a desire for a sincere milk. You don't have to teach a baby to get hungry and want milk. It's in their instinct. They desire it. They taste it. They want more of it. But as they grow, if no one is there to guide and train and disciple young lives, their temptation is, I don't want meat and potatoes and vegetables and bread, all the things that are good for me. I just want cookies and cakes and sweets. And I don't want to exercise appropriately. I kind of just want to sit on the couch with a tablet or whatever. I'm describing myself, but he's saying, when you were a baby, you desired these things. You crave these things. No one had to bribe you or prime the pump. You were just ready for it. Now Paul's saying to the audience here, you've gotten dull in hearing. He said, had you been diligent and careful to learn and grow, you'd be ready to learn further and to be teaching these things. He said, you'd be ready to, verse chapter 6, leave the principal things and move on to that which perfects a deeper walk. He said, but you've been careless, casual. You've neglected about the hearing. Maybe it was they left it to happenstance. That I'll eat what the word of God puts out when it's fed to me. He said, you haven't learned to eat and exercise the basics for yourself. So So either he said there's temptation there to just be a baby too long, and I get some of those too that are coming up through, and I'll cure her of it. Ireland still thinks she's the baby. It is what it is. You say this tension is to be immature too long and let somebody else take care of feeding me, or let other things stop up my ears so I don't hear clearly what the God is trying to teach me. Whether I'm stopping up my eyes and my ears, we said it's something with the cares of this life, through the lenses we put on of education or tradition or background or opinion or other people's or philosophies and voices that are out there. Or I just want to tank up on all the sweets and all the principal foods of the Word of God. Vital. Need them. But if all we do is tank up on those few passages that makes us feel good in the moment, there's not much depth in our life. Let me skip ahead here. We're 20 minutes in. If we never progress from milk to meat, we're not learning the skills we need to win. Eating and exercising. 1 Timothy 4 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of that life that now is and of that which is to come." It's the same word in there, to exercise yourself. He's saying deliberately, intentionally eating and exercising for yourself. That it is not just I do okay as long as somebody is there, and as long as someone makes a decision or someone can feed it for me and break it all down for me, and as long as my parents or my pastor or my teachers can tell me this is what we believe and this is why. He said there's maturity, there's benchmarks where I learn to eat and exercise the Word of God for myself. And I would agree with the statement that someone can fall into sin. And people say, "I don't think people can just fall into sin." There is intentional. If you're careless about your walk with God, somebody can fall into sin. But maturing and growing, perfecting in Christ, has to be deliberate. It has to be intentional, or it won't happen, in order to grow. So in verse number 1 of chapter 6, he says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." He said, it is time to leave these truths and move on. What he is not saying, there should be too many nots in the same sentence, too many double negatives. Leaving does not mean forsaking. When he's saying leave these principal things and go on, the illustration that most would give is that of a tree. A tree leaves its roots by necessity to become a tree, but it's still attached to the roots. If all it ever is a root system, it's not a fruitful, productive tree. Paul said it's time to leave the foundation, these principal things, and grow. Go on to maturity, to perfection in the Lord Jesus Christ, where your leaves grow in and out of season. They don't wither and fade, where the fruit is there for the weary traveler. So again, Christians need the roots, but it can't all be roots and foundations, and that's all we get to. Well, there's no leaves and fruit. He said, we need believers that are maturing like that plant. They're growing. That are able to eat and exercise for themselves the Word of God, but also be able to teach others. Babies can't feed babies. You ever seen a really young toddler try to feed a baby? You know why. But even two babies that are about the same age in their little car seats or high chairs or whatever, they would not have very good luck trying to feed each other. Even if it was children. Because the immature will only feed themselves and others a diet of their favorites and sweets. He said, I'm trying to drive this home. Believers who are eating and exercising for themselves. So we want to, in the next few weeks, go over this down chapter number 6. We read some of these principal doctrines of Christ. And if the Lord allows, we'll pick through some of them over the next several weeks. And as we do, we just ask the Lord, this is what we'll kind of wrap up with for tonight, that we ask God daily this specific prayer: God, open my eyes. I want to see. Open my ears. I want to hear. I don't want to just see words on pages, God. I just want to hear spoken words, God. I want to understand. I want to perceive. I want to finally lay hold on these elementary principal doctrines of Christ so I can go on to maturity. God, and if you need to, I mean, every day. Maybe you leave yourself a note, you put a chime on your phone, maybe several times a day. You say, God, open my eyes. God, open my ears, spirit, supernaturally. God, help me. Remove the lenses from my eyes and my ears. Remove the filters that I have in place from this life and from my history. God, please open my eyes and open my ears so that I can behold and perceive. The psalmist lived there. Psalm 119, he says those words. Open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And again, we ought to be diligent about studying and eating and exercising the word of God for ourselves. But we need supernatural aid on these. Especially the deeper, harder things of the word of God. We need his help. In 2 Kings, you know the story where the man of God and his servant are in this town. They are surrounded by an enemy, and the servant comes in and says, we're in trouble. His servant said unto him, 2 Kings 6, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. The very next verse says, and the Lord opened the eyes of a young man. He needed it. We need it. Our family needs it. This church needs it. God, there's a reason he's putting this together, I guess. He's got to. Where it's getting taught and hounded, or at least explained week after week now by Pastor Barnes, by the book of Acts, now by Hebrews again, these words. God, we don't want to be dull. We don't want to be slack. We don't want to be lazy about eating and exercising the word of God. Open my eyes and open my ears that I don't see and hear, but I perceive and I understand. That we can lay a foundation and go on to that which is perfecting. So again, the writer is pausing here right in the middle of the book or so. His 6 chapters of all about how Jesus is so much better to tell his audience, it's time to grow up. That you need to ask God to open your eyes and your ears and on purpose settle this in your hearts. The rudimentary, elementary, principle truths of the Word of God. And I won't even go into the first one. I was going to for the sake of time. I won't tonight. Because he's going to list a few of them here. And arguably, like I mentioned several minutes ago, one of the most struggled with elementary principle doctrines of the Word of God. It is not a deep thing. It is not a hard thing. It is an elementary teaching. It is the eternal security of the believer. That if you have once been truly been converted, if you have been saved, that you are always saved. That is something to go on and not be hindered in our growth. We've got to lay hold of. Because he spells it out here, just even in this chapter, that if you could fall away. Never does that passage, does he say you can. He's saying, if you could, you would need to be regenerated to be saved again. And that's not possible. He said, well, we'll go over this. This will be the one for next Wednesday. But he says, if you could fall away, and if we were going to take that to mean salvation, if I could lose it, he said the only way you could get saved again is to kill Christ again. So we personally believe by the Scriptures, once saved, always saved. So by the Scriptures, if I believed I could be lost again, that would mean you would always be lost again. If you could lose it, he said, you can never have it again. That blows a hole through almost the entire... There's so many groups out there that believe in the loss of salvation. And most of them lose it and find it, lose it and find it. The author makes it very clear, if you could, you can't find it again. And he goes on to explain some things in verse 7 and 8 about either it's a good tree or a bad tree. Good tree gets the blessings of God. That which has thorns and the thistles and things gets burned in the end. And a good tree is not going to be an evil tree. An evil tree is not going to be a good tree. And he breaks those things down. We'll use that one for next Wednesday night, perhaps, about eternal security and that elementary principle doctrine of Christ, and just try to lay some of those that he has listed here for us. But for tonight, just the introductory. But I want to, on purpose, be a student of the Word of God. But I want his help. God, open my eyes and open my ears that I can perceive and understand that which I have seen and heard for a long time. I want to know it. And through that, there'll be maturity as we exercise for ourselves the Word of God.